Hello and welcome to Find Your Voice with Kathy Tazik, Senior Vice President, Client Services for Sedgwick. This is your 21st century podcast looking at the claims industry. Kathy brings a fresh and interesting perspective to the topics that are of interest to you today. And now, here is Kathy.
Welcome back, everybody, to our next edition of Find Your Voice. And I'm really personally happy to have today with me Sean Johnson, who's a Senior Vice President of Disability Services at Sedgwick. And Sean and I have worked together for a really long time on a variety of issues that face our employers that we work with every day. Our topic today we're going to be talking with Sean about is the Americans with Disabilities Act and the ADA Amendment Act. Sean recently posted a blog to our website about this, but in our efforts to make sure that we get as much information to employers as possible about the impacts of this to them, we wanted to make sure we had Sean as a guest on our show to talk a little bit more about those challenges. So, Sean, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're really glad to have you. I was really interested in reading your blog and in thinking about the challenges with the employers that we both commonly work with. The issue of ADA has obviously grown substantially over the last several years. So can you talk a little bit about the challenges that employers are seeing and struggling with and dealing with the changing regulations?
Sure. So this, to me, is much like what we've seen in the leave of absence space over the last 15 years. You know, the law has actually been around for many more years than the visibility to the issues. And so what has happened is that over the years, the compliance factor maybe wasn't as heavily watched as what it's being watched now. And as they continue to refine the laws are really very employee-friendly. And at the end of the day, the spirit of the law is such that if an employer can at all accommodate and keep an employee within their work environment, then they need to look for the opportunity to do that. And I think before it was maybe regarded a little more as, oh, if we can accommodate, great, and if not, no big deal. Employers also got themselves into trouble because they would take individuals back on an inconsistent basis, sometimes based on whether they like the employee or not, and they would let them start working with just kind of these generic, you know, restrictions, limitations. Nobody would monitor them, and all of a sudden, you know, 2, 3, 4 years after that employee has been working with this condition, then a change in guard, a new supervisor manager comes in, something and says, well, I don't want to accommodate that anymore, or I'm not going to accommodate that anymore. Well, under the law, if you've already made that available to them, then you're going to start getting into trouble from a compliance standpoint. And so the fact that through the years, it's kind of just been loosely managed and kind of, accommodated as wanted to by the employers. What started happening was that, lawsuits get filed for unfair employment actions. And so we see more and more employers who are paying out large sums of money because even if they did the right thing, if that's not, you know, to the blog that I put out there to that point, if that is not well defined, if that is not well documented, and if they can't prove that in a court that they really did take all the appropriate actions, then they're probably still going to end up in hot water.
Exactly. So I think what I hear you saying, just to make sure I'm clear, the reason that there's so much more attention on this now is basically because of the litigation, correct? Because more lawsuits brought this to the forefront?
Yes. So obviously as the lawsuits came out, then individual employers started kind of digging into a little bit, well, what is my obligation under this? And as they started digging into this, they realized that, you know, this is a challenging aspect to manage because there's two parts to it, if you will. There's the whole just, I walk into work today and for whatever reason, I'm requesting an accommodation. And the employer has the right to validate that that's a legitimate accommodation that is needed. They have the right to request medical information to ensure that a condition exists that would warrant that, et cetera. So that's what we refer to as the medical substantiation part. And we've been doing that part of ADA for probably close to 15 years for one of our clients. And so that, you know, very similar to what you would do for a short-term disability claim or even a workers' comp claim, you're validating that their medical condition is what they say it is and that the accommodation is appropriate. So that's one small piece of it. The bigger piece and where we see the clients maybe even more challenged is, okay, what comes next? If it's a medically reasonable accommodation, where do we go from there? And there's a very, the law requires that it is a very, they actually call it an interactive process. And so that's engagement with the employee, with the supervisor, manager, and or the HR department within the organization. So that everybody has a clear understanding of what that accommodation is, what's needed. If it is going to be accepted, are there terms as under that acceptance, is it only for a short amount of time? Is this being considered a permanent restriction? And then there needs to be monitoring to ensure that that accommodation is being lived out appropriately by both the employee and the employer. And really, that whole entire process is what there needs to be clear documentation around, so that if anything ever comes into question, there, you know, are notes that are date and time stamped that say this conversation took place. There are medical records that have been gathered that say this is how we substantiated. Or more importantly, if for some reason they just truly cannot accommodate the individual, there needs to be very clear documentation regarding why it was unreasonable. If it was a financial issue, they need to have all of that clearly outlined in their rationale for why that was denied.
Okay. Well, Sean, it sounds like there's a need for employers to have a really good, you mentioned documentation, so it sounds like there's a need for employers to have very clear documentation, and we recommend, obviously, and provide for our customers a central way to do that. So can you talk just briefly about the way that we help employers be prepared and document all of this correctly?
Sure. So, you know, I grew up in the claims world, and we always say, if it's not documented in the notes in Juris, it didn't happen. And we take very much that same approach as we help our employers manage their ADA process. And so everything from the initial contact out to the employee to discuss what's going on with them, what the accommodation that they're requesting is, what their medical condition is, to the contacting of the physician's office to gather that information, all discussions with the employer regarding the accommodation and whether or not they can accept that or what the challenges are. Or we go as far as having vocational specialists that can actually go out to the job sites, to the locations, and help determine, you know, how could this employee be accommodated in order to keep them in the workplace. And so with each step within our process, everything is documented, who actually took the action, who was involved, everything is date and time stamped, so that if there were ever litigation regarding that, we could provide that entire case history to the attorney, to our employer, to say these are all of the actions that Sedgwick took on your behalf in order to protect you in this type of circumstance.
Well, it sounds, Sean, like our employers have a lot that they can benefit from our solutions. So any other advice for any of our customers or employers who might be listening wondering what else they should be thinking about with regards to ADA?
Yeah, I would just say that the big thing right now, and the you know, as I mentioned earlier, the spirit of the law is really meant to keep employees within the workplace if at all possible. And so, you know, my words of wisdom are when you are up against one of these situations, to really go at it with how can we, not should we, not do we, not can we, but how do we accommodate this employee? And that's not to say that 100% of accommodations are always going to be accepted, but it really it really should be more of the exception that the accommodations are denied rather than approved. So I think it's about the spirit of collaboration with, you know, if you have a vendor, a partner that's helping you manage this, it's collaborating with them, it's creative thinking, it's maybe outside of the box of how we've done work in the past, but it's all about collaboration and the spirit of how can we keep that employee in our workplace and productive. And so that's, you know, my words of wisdom is to approach the outcome of the case with that in mind.
Well, Sean, we really appreciate that and hope that all our employers listening have learned a bit about some solutions they might have for this issue as well. So thanks a lot for joining us today, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.